There
I can't hear me. Bo knows.
Bo, where you at? Call me. Holla.
Bo knows. Once again, somebody out there knows Bo.
Bo knows Bo.
Who's somebody else that we should call out?
I know what Bo don't know.
Damon John. Somebody out there knows Damon John. Send him our way. We'll talk to Damon John. And the other one is Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Damon John would want to steal my slingshot and ride off into the sunset, I bet.
Here's your host, Mark Bell.
How much do you think that guy weighs that just did that voice? Here's your host, Mark Bell. How much do you think that guy weighs?
He's pushing 300 easy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know who he is. You know who he is.
Yeah, he's that gentleman weighs about 350 pounds.
We had some ladies on the show, and we asked them, we're like, oh, 195?
They said 175 until you prodding at them. They're like, oh, maybe.
But literally double that.
They're CrossFit chicks.
Yeah.
So that's what they expect a guy to weigh, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, normal humans do.
This podcast, by the way, is really going downhill. This is a big step down. We had two hot chicks on at once.
Yeah. And they were wearing like nothing, too.
Now we have the biggest bench presser of all time, Eric Spoto. Yeah. This is just not going anywhere.
A lot of man meat.
Anyone who's listening is just going to drop off.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to learn how to bench.
Except all the fairies. They're into this. All the fairies.
They just want to hear a hot chick giggle.
Everybody's been calling me a fairy on social media.
They
now they're
spell
killing
it wrong.
Me. Oh, I don't even know how to spell fairy. F-A-I-R-W? Or
I-R-W? Was that French?
It's been a long day. We've been bench pressing since 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Wow, that was...
Oh, shit,
that's not even like spelling. That's like, you know, you threw something else in there. Totally. Yeah. That's fucking weird.
I'd retire.
That's weird.
F-A-I-R-Y?
F-A-I-R-Y. Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Jerry.
Yeah, but on social media, they're spelling it F E R R Y, which is the kind of, you know.
Like you, a boat to
a
ferry.
Like a boat across.
Isn't that kind of said differently? Isn't it ferry and versus ferry?
I think that's only when you're from New York. You talk like that.
Ferry?
Yeah.
Isn't
hey,
that called
ferry.
A ferry?
Hey, Long Island, the ferry.
That's where you're from, right? You're from the island, right?
Yeah, it's a ferry.
Strong Island.
Yep.
Son of a bitch.
How far did you guys grow up away from each other? You're about the same age, yeah?
I'm from Poughkeepsie. I'm 38. How about yourself there, Eric?
38.
God damn, how did we never cross paths?
I never been to Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, who would want to go there?
When did you leave? When did you leave the East Coast?
I was 17.
And it was for a girl?
It was? Mark was joking.
I just made that up.
It was to go to UNLV.
Oh, I was going to say all stupid moves are always for a female.
It was for Vegas.
Doesn't matter how strong somebody is. It's always for pussy.
You're an educated meathead?
I guess. I mean, it's UNLV. I didn't go to Duke.
Oh. That's still good.
What's the fascination with the bench press? When did this all start?
11 years old.
Dang. Damn. Yeah, started young, huh?
Just trying to get jacked, like everybody else, just want to put on like muscle or whatever. You saw some
Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, you know. Terminator and Predator.
Why is Predator so good? I didn't really like Terminator. I think Terminator's all right, but Predator's
the original Terminator?
It's all right, but Predator really fucking gets me.
Terminator's pretty deep, though. I think that shit's really going to happen. Skynet's going to be fully realized.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be fucked.
I agree.
The robots are going to turn on us.
I wish they'd stop making him after 2, though.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a new one, right? It's like
a month. That rewrites the whole thing.
Yeah, Arnold looks so old.
Somebody sent somebody forward to go backwards and kill somebody who's in the future, who's from the past, and so on. It just gets
confusing. And then Arnold gets to be old because they send him back too far,
and
his skin ages on the outside of his.
Yeah, my head like can't keep up with that.
Yeah.
But Predator's so simple.
When does
alien, and we're fighting him in the jungle. Yeah.
When does the Terminator run into fucking Michael J. Fox from Back to the Future?
Yeah, the flux capacitor.
And the picture starts disappearing, and all that.
Terminator's riding the fucking floating skateboard.
God damn, it all gets to be so confusing.
Oh, that's an intense idea.
There is a floating skateboard going on right now.
Yeah.
You've talked about this before. You're lying.
You've never seen it?
You're lying.
Yeah, Tony Hawk wrote it.
Yeah, it's a maglev kind of
deal. Somebody just bought it for their son, like Travis Barker, somebody weird. Maybe the game. I don't know. I follow too many celebrities on Instagram.
What about anything like a skateboard or riding a bike? You do any of that kind of stuff as a kid, or have you always been a big, giant mutant?
You're a little thick.
No, yeah. I rode BMX.
And oh, really?
I rode dirt bikes, too.
Shit. Were you athletic? Did you play some other sports and stuff?
I wrestled. Did shot put and discus.
You wrestled men?
Yep, wrestled men.
Mud wrestling. Mud wrestling champ of Long Island.
Apartment wrestling?
There was oil involved.
You did shot put, you said?
Yeah, shot put and discus.
Were you good? Were you pretty good?
For New York standards, I was good.
Yeah, you were right.
I mean, Texas standards, I was probably garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, Texas and California.
Were you able to, like, Were you able to like win any sort of championship or get to the state finals or anything like that?
I took third in counties, but I was only in ninth grade.
Oh, shit. That's some real shit.
Did you do anything like that in your teen or like kind of college years? Look, he's fucking floating on a skateboard.
Oh, my God, it's real. Yeah.
I don't even think it's floating.
That's special effects. A floating skateboard.
No, it's legit. You, it's just magnetic.
You mentioned earlier that you said, I think you said earlier that you could dunk a basketball back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you, maybe 6 feet tall?
At best.
Yeah.
Mark
says he's 6 feet. So
if you're lucky,
assume.
As Andy Bell says, 6 feet if you're lucky.
Yeah, on a good day.
On a tall day, yeah. You, I heard rumors that bench press was not your your first thing you were known for. You were known for the squat.
Yep, the squat.
Is that true?
Squat was my thing.
How much could you squat back in the day?
My best was 675 for a triple. No reps.
And is that to, that's fucking crazy. Is that to like a powerlifting standard, like a legitimate squat, or is that some sort of high school
leg press?
Yeah, half squat kind of deal.
I'm not saying it would have got three weights.
Oh, all right, okay.
But yeah, it you were down there somewhere.
Right. Yeah, it was a deep squat. And max 220.
Yeah, that's crazy.
220 body weight, 675.
That was in high school, early teens?
No.
Yeah, when were you fucking 220?
Yeah, that sounds ridiculous.
That was like 20. That was when I was benching 500, so 20 years old.
Dang.
Do you have to kind of eat your way up to be this big? You're like, what, 320 nowadays or something like that?
I think like 310.
Around 310.
Yeah, how dare you?
Did you have to? Yeah, I know. So insulting. Did you have to go out of your way and eat a lot of different junk and stuff like that to get this big?
No.
No,
just kept lifting.
It really comes
kept
easy.
Eating.
Yeah.
You're naturally just kind of thicker or whatever. Your body wanted to put on weight.
Yeah, I got thick bones.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm big boned.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear. We hear these Vegas
thick
rumors.
Bones.
That's what I tell the girls. I'm just big boned.
You guys obviously can't see on the on the podcast, but his wrists are gigantic.
Yeah, his forearms are huge.
His forearms are huge.
His third leg is huge.
About a 20-inch forearm, and about a said his biceps at its best were around 24 inches. You know, when you're around somebody like this, Eric has successfully bench pressed 722 pounds. He can't help but to, just all of a sudden realize how fucking inferior you truly are. I think you mentioned earlier you did 225 how many times? And
70-something?
I think it was 78 times.
That just doesn't...
I haven't done that one in a while.
That just doesn't make any sense. It's just...
315 for how many?
62.
405 for how many?
Can't remember the 405. 500 for 22.
Jesus.
And 600 for 9. Actually, I think it was 605.
That's not that good. That's really not that impressive. You're a piece of shit. those numbers are just, they're mind-boggling. Of course, they match up to, the 722 that you did. No one's ever done that before. But what I found, I still to this day find just fascinating and unique about your story is a lot of times, like when I know someone that breaks a world record, you kind of hear a lot about it or... when you get around someone like Stan Efferding kind of had these plans. He had this shit like mapped out. And it kind of seemed like you kind of almost came out of nowhere. And I know you've been training for a long time, so it's not true that you came out of nowhere.
But you weren't necessarily like powerlifting forever, yeah?
No.
You're just kind of lifting.
I mean, you basically just did a couple of powerlifting meets and boom, world record's broken. The all-time biggest bench press.
Oh, so simple.
The number one lift that everyone's like kind of gunning for. I mean, let's face it. Everyone loves a squat, bench, deadlift. Everyone loves the whole thing.
Not everyone loves the whole thing.
Yeah, not everyone loves the whole thing.
Everybody loves the bench.
Everyone loves the bench. Yeah. Everyone's always talking about how much you bench. And in every gym, nearly most of the big gyms in the country, you can find a couple guys that lift something that they think is pretty good, 455, 500-pound benches.
Yeah.
Are somewhat common, and a 600-pound bench in the powerlifting world is at a really really super high level. Stan Efferding was able to do a 606 bench, and
when you think about the guys that bench six, they're fucking studs.
Matt
Wenning, Derek Kendall, Stan Efferding, like the guys that bench six are fucking animals.
Yeah, they start to separate themselves out, but the 700-pound barrier is really just on another level. And when you came along, it was almost like you were just so fucking strong that you got pressure from people on the outside saying, dude, you got to do a powerlifting meet. You got to do a powerlifting meet. You must have heard it so many times that you were like, I should probably do a fucking powerlifting meet.
That's about it.
Is that pretty much how it went down?
I figured this is the time to do it, and I wanted to come out with a real good number. Not necessarily the world record, but in that 700 range, and I was fortunate enough to hit 700 in my first meet.
Yeah, and then you went for 716 and bombed, right?
Completely bombed. Choked the whole place up.
The current record at the time was 715?
Right.
Something like that?
My goals for that day would have been like a 735, 740.
Wait a second. 715 was held for years by Scott Mendelson.
What, correct. Maybe 10 years?
And,
a little bit less?
Yeah, probably eight or ten years.
Yeah.
And, you know, Scott Mendelson is a mutant. I mean, Scott Mendelson, I think, benched 700 or 705 or something like that in the 308 weight class as well. Like, Scott is...
Benched 1,000 plus in the
shirt.
Yeah,
and he also at one point had the all-time record shirted as well as raw. You don't really see... That's not all that common.
Right. Yeah.
Scott is, you know, a legend in the sport. You went and trained with him for a little while, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And what was that like? Did you guys kind of go back and forth, or was he doing his shirt stuff at the time?
He was doing shirt when I first got there. Then he went off to try to actually break the world record when I was there. And he strained a pec, I think doing like a 752 board or for a single or whatever it was.
When you were lifting with him, were you kind of like, holy shit, or were you right there with him?
I was pretty close to He was a little ahead of me at that time when he was peaking at that point.
Right.
But he was trying to switch me to the toes back form, and it just didn't take for me.
Right.
Your hips weren't ready?
I just couldn't do it. So once I switched back to my form, the numbers just started going up.
And then from there is when you kind of came to super training and then went off and trained with Stan? Is that kind of the order of history, or am I way off?
I came to super training first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is the first powerlifting gym I had ever walked in, a super training gym.
Yeah.
First video I had ever done was Super Train Gym.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I still remember it like it was fucking yesterday when you walked through the door because.
Wow.
You know,
there's something serious going on here, huh? I remember it like it was yesterday. Punky like, Eric walks through the door.
I was like, I know that I'm going to end up shaving this guy's back one day before a meet. It's going to be magnificent. I'm going to stuff him into a singlet that's way too small. The possibilities are fucking.
Skips through the door,
teabag
slow motion.
Him when I fucking give him the lift off. Possibilities.
What do you feel about natural spotters? Mark says he's not really into natural spotters because they have really large testicles and they're just all in your face. So you like
it makes
maybe
it harder to breathe.
You like more enhanced spotters because they're stronger and they have less nuts involved.
Less
is
balls.
That kind of a that's a protocol?
That makes a lot of sense.
No, okay. Maybe so now he's going to bench 750.
I don't think he's thought about it that much the way I have.
I don't think I've ever had a natural liftoff.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You don't want to be around too many natural people. God knows what could happen.
You limit them. Limit them to your group like black guys in a movie.
Only in a movie theater?
Yeah. No, not in a movie theater. Oh.
That's worse.
Oh, that was racist.
That wasn't racist. Now we're getting to be, line.
Now we're getting to be racist.
Just like your iPhone.
Yeah. So Mendy 715 Raw was May 22nd, 2005.
2005, and you were 2013 or something. It's about 8 years.
Was it May 19, 2013?
Sounds
right
to me.
Sounds about right to me.
It's coming up on 2 years.
Yeah.
Aww, when you, anniversary.
Yeah.
Ah, he looks like he's wearing a little bit of a bench shirt there, but I'm not a hater. Doesn't it?
I've actually noticed people wearing...
Scott is ungodly strong. I'm not going to take anything away from him, but he looks a little stiff, doesn't he?
Maybe I'm a little stiff like right now with all this testosterone in the
maybe
room.
Maybe a Blair shirt.
Yep. Well, it's a good lift. Ed Cohn's the judge there.
Oh, Mr. Cohn, I didn't even notice.
Scott's a tank. He just looks that stiff anyway, I think. I think it's just the way he freaking walks around. He's
traps, all, locks, he's, lock his shoulders in.
308 pounds of muscle, pretty much.
The beast master there with him.
Oh, yeah, the guy, the
liftoff.
The liftoff guy.
Yeah, have to comment about the liftoff guy.
Yeah, that liftoff guy was huge. You could never see his head. He was, like, too tall.
But he's no Black John Stockton.
No.
You know that's my nickname, Mr. Spoto?
The Black John?
The Black John Stockton. That's me. The assist man.
He's always there with the assist. He does a no look.
Yeah,
he
can do
look.
A no-look handoff.
With about 405 is the limit, though.
Yeah, no-look at 500 gets a little sketchy.
Anyway,
maybe with him.
Let's get back to this.
What about a reverse handoff?
Oh, I could do it.
That's what
I think
having.
I can do
behind
it.
The back?
Yeah.
I was thinking about having a couple of the girls I train with to start doing that.
Oh.
Yeah, you're in Vegas. What kind of girls are going on at your gym?
I think it'd work out pretty good.
Yeah, sounds great.
Oh. Hey, now. let's get back to this this progression here a little bit. You came into super training, and I remember it quite well. You were setting up on a bench, and you were just like, "Yeah, I'm just going to kind of come in. I wanted to come in for a workout."
Did Stan bring you in? Did Stan make the connection? What was your connection?
I had never talked to Stan in my life.
No. So you met Stan after super training. You just walked into super training.
I had seen videos online.
Yeah.
And I was in the area, and I was like, I got to go here.
That's awesome. Like,
I thought I wasn't there, but actually remembering, I think that we did talk to you. Like, Mark shot some stuff, and then I talked to you on camera, but I didn't have the bench press stuff because I was, like, in late that day or something like that. It was,
I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
We were talking about some type of reality show or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, still working on it.
Still working on it.
Here we are, still working on it.
I've had two offers for reality shows where I've done interviews on Skype. And obviously none of them have went through yet.
Something will happen. Something will happen with super training eventually.
I think so.
Any fucking way. Back to my fucking story. Where was I? So you came into super training because?
I had seen videos of Stan, and I was like, I got to go to this gym.
And you just thought Stan was there. You thought he was like part of it.
I mean, it wasn't just Stan, but it looked like the realest powerlifting gym on the West Coast. I wasn't going to go to West Side, plus that shirted lifting.
Right.
That's the gym I wanted to go to.
And Stan was raw. And like what you probably didn't know is like mostly we were geared before Stan. And Stan sort of started the raw revolution for us and for a lot of other people too.
He started it for the world.
And
I think so.
It's taken on a life of its own. Raw lifting is.
I think what you did was big for it as well. I think guys like Dan Green were big for it too because Dan Green is jacked. You know, and that plays a big part of it. Stan being, well built and being super strong is a big part of it as well. But I remember that day because, you know, you started handling a little bit of weight, and I saw you with 135 and 225. And I remember Ed Koo, who was a super training member at the time, lifted off for you with about 3 plates. And he just looked at me and he was like, this dude is like, there's something different going on here. Like, I don't know where the fuck this guy came from or where you found this guy. I'm like, I didn't find him. He just came in. I'm like, I don't know who this ogre. I called you an ogre.
Right.
And Koo started laughing. And then so because I'm an idiot, I don't know why I've never gotten punched in the face yet. But I went over to you and I'm like, all right, ogre, how much do you fucking lift? And I have it. I think that's part of the video, you know. And you were like, I don't know. We'll see today. And you ended up, moving 405 with zero effort and 5 plates and so on. And I was like, all right, this is getting to be fucking crazy.
That's what you thought when I joined Super Training 2, right?
Yeah, I was like, similar. This Silent Mike guy.
225 like a motherfucker.
225 on the squat, ass to ankles, no belt. Unbelievable. This guy's going places.
I thought
places.
Photo was once in a lifetime, but here's Silent Mike.
Yeah. Yep. And so, I saw you just kind of going up and up and weight and it was just fucking, mind-boggling. And then you did 585 for a pretty easy single, I think. And then you did 635 for a double. And I just remember just, thinking like, shit, that's in the realm of like the world record. Like world record strength, And we started asking you about it. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. And, we were asking you about powerlifting meets and stuff. And you're like, yeah, that's kind of why I'm here. I came in. Yeah. This is what I want to do. But, it's just so rare, even though we are a powerlifting gym and we've been a competitive powerlifting gym for a long time. We've had a lot of 1,000-pound squatters. We've had a lot of 700-pound-plus shirted benchers. We've had a couple of 500 raw benchers. We've had a lot of great things happen here. A couple guys deadlifted over 800 pounds. And there's been a lot of great things that happen at super training. But having said all that, a mutant like Stan or a mutant like you walking in is still few and far between. It happens, but it's pretty rare. And when you came through the doors, I was just like, what the fuck is this guy about? Like, what is going on here? And from that video, you became super popular from that video. Then you started doing some of your own videos, and those videos started going fucking crazy. People couldn't get enough of those videos when you were doing them. You did a 675 for 3, I remember, and people were just like, what the fuck? The anticipation for you to do a powerlifting meet was through the roof, and people were so excited. And the anticipation, it was almost better that you didn't compete because people were so fucking
the Mayweather of powerlifting.
Right.
Yeah. People.
Exactly. Build up.
Well, people always like to talk about the potential of what could possibly happen. They almost like that better They almost like that better than actually seeing the actual result.
Like George Lehman.
We've been
seeing it for years.
Yeah, I don't think George Lehman's done a full power thing meet yet, has he?
Not a full, but he has the American deadlift
record.
They just
smashed that deadlift about a month ago.
Yeah, and you know what? I realized I made a mistake.
Yeah, it was Urbank.
Well, maybe.
Urbank's just 308, I thought.
Oh, maybe.
No. The American deadlift record, I don't think, was held by Ed Cohn. He did 901. Yes. Mark Henry did 903.
Oh, right. I thought it was Urbank at like 909.
Maybe he might have been in there.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think Urbank
at 308.
Maybe.
But it'd be the most ever, too.
I think it was the most ever, too, but it might have been at 308, and I think it was Urbank. We all said Cohn on the thing.
Yeah.
And then.
So it went Cohn, Henry, Urbank.
They're all, whatever, 909. Yeah. What did Lehman end with? 911 or something? 912?
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever, that's crazy.
909 or something.
Yeah, all within 10 pounds, you know. Yeah. Three or four freaking monsters. But his. Were we saying Urbank was the heaviest hook grip? I'm so confused. Because we were talking about hook grip, too, because George Lehman went hook grip.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, what a freak.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he went double over, yeah. 881, too, was done by Brad Gillingham. He did an 881 deadlift in the USAPL, too.
Maybe that's what you said.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, USA stiff bar? Are you crazy?
Yeah, Brad Gillingham is strong.
Yeah.
And he's done that probably like 30 times in meets.
Oh, yeah. He's the most prolific deadlifter of all time. There's absolutely no question about that. No one has deadlifted over 800 pounds as many times as he has. International competitions, national competitions, local comp. I mean, that guy is he's a legend. And he built up his deadlift with a lot of squatting. 5 sets of 5 squats with no belt. That's what he's a big fan of.
5 sets of 5 squat, no belt. All right, I'll do it tomorrow.
Oh, it hurts. I tried it. I tried it for like 1 week and I abandoned it.
And then I'll deadlift 800, you're telling me?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any hope for you, Silent Mike. Is there any hope for Silent Mike?
There's hope for Silent
Obi-Wan Mike. Kenobi. You're my only hope.
He's got
I'm being very quiet over here because I'm actually trying
look
to
look at
find
that fat face. Oh, holy shit.
We're going to be bombarded. We're going to be bombarded with questions about the bench, and you're going to have to help people solve their benching problems.
Yeah, hopefully you guys can go to supertrain.tv. We just filmed for like 12 hours.
Yeah, we filmed a lot of fucking shit.
Eric was a fucking trooper and hung out.
We filmed tons of stuff. Give me I know you're a big proponent of actually just bench pressing and being on that bench press for a long time.
Right.
So, of course, there's going to be a lot of that action going on.
Yeah, bench, close grip, wide grip, slingshot.
But and Mike, think of a few questions for him, too.
I got no questions.
Three things to help people with their lockout. That's everyone always.
Every raw guy kind of misses at their lockout, right?
Okay, so let's start with
that's how they say it, too.
How do I lock out?
Why do they say it?
My bench press is about 225, but I can't really lock it out.
Why do they say it like that?
Like a little whiny white girl.
Yeah, Jesus.
You're going to want to definitely start with some board work and definitely pause board work to get through those sticking points. And usually people could lock it out because if you put them on the board work, they could lock it out, but they don't lock it out from the full range.
Right.
And I think it's usually they put themselves in a bad position, possibly too early.
So how could we overload but use a full range of motion at the same time? Is there like a device for this? Is there something that someone can use
thing.
That's stretchy that goes across their
chest?
But
it's cheating?
No, the slingshot definitely is going to be one of the top tools because you're going to overload.
There's a million of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Pages and pages.
They're looking up for a video of your first video ever.
I'm trying to find the time period because...
Just type Spoto 635, it'll come up.
You only did that once. You skipped 635 every other time. It was too easy.
Or Spoto 585. It'll come up with one of those.
Mark is so
there
fat
is.
In some of these
there
videos.
It is.
The very first right video there. Ever.
Look at this idiot with his elbows wide.
I knew new guy was in there, but it's on the screen, not on the...
Yeah, why aren't you touching your chest? You're cheating.
Is that 585 for three? Okay. That was fucking... Yep.
Why is everybody in the gym so fat?
Some other fucking fat, disgusting people in this video.
Oh, my God. Look at those liftoff.
Thank God some of those are gone. Yeah.
Who's the actual liftoff guy now? Is that Koo?
That's Koo.
That's the only guy that looks jacked. Everybody else is so fat.
I was still doing that technique, though. I was still fucking going under there.
Yeah. Oh nice liftoff. Yeah.
Terrible liftoff.
It didn't matter
to
you.
Cut this one short.
Ooh, fuck that shit.
And I cut this one short.
What was your body weight then? You look a little slimmer.
Maybe 285.
Damn.
That was a long, long press there.
Yeah. That was the most I had ever done up to that point.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've never seen you grind like that either. Everything now looks so damn fast. Oh, look at Fat Ryan Cove in the background.
Fat Ryan Cove is trying to figure out what's going
on. Memories we got on here.
Everyone's trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Guy just walks in and kicks everybody's ass. Like, so bad. Fucking terrible.
That shirt is terrible. I had no shirts that would fit me. Yeah, I had to go to a store. It was the only 3X I had.
You're Fat guy affliction shirt.
You're a big, you're a big boy. What are you going to do, you know? But, yeah, so you got something like a board press is good for the lockout.
I think that's great to hear. Like, a lot of Raw guys think board pressing is only for geared guys.
Which I used to think.
You also said pause board pressing. Why the pause in there?
Because I don't really even think it's their lockout. I think what's happening is because if I did a pin press with them with that same weight, they're going to lock it out.
Yeah, okay.
Do you use pin presses?
Yeah, I do pin presses. Yeah. You got to be careful with them. You end up overloading too much. It can be dangerous. But
maybe a lower pin press?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if the thing with the lockout, I think they're hitting that sticking point, and then they're fighting so hard through that sticking point, and they're putting them so – and they just can't finish it because they blew the load on the sticking point.
Right. And that sounds gross. Sticking point, blowing your load.
Sticky point.
Mind blown.
What a pervert.
Yeah. You know, but it's been mentioned before by other lifters and by Louis Simmons that the sticking point or the failure point is a little bit lower than where you think it is. And that kind of sounds like what you're referring to. So if you do a board press, you know, if you're getting stuck at the top, it's not like you need to do a 5 or 6 board.
Nope.
Do a 2 or 3 board or maybe even a 1 board. Use a pause. Use strict form and technique. Yep. The boards can allow you to handle more weight, but that's not necessarily the entire point. The entire point
some reps too,
is to go through that sticking point multiple times, right?
That's exactly what it is. Because if you did put it to a 5 board and to that same weight you just failed at benching, you'll smoke it for 3 easy reps.
Right.
So it's not the lockout, although it ends up seeming like it is the lockout. Right.
You're not able to apply enough force off the chest and get enough momentum and speed going to be able to finish the entire lift the whole way. You're also not able to kind of maintain position when the weights are heavy. You kind of squirm around and you get thrown out of position, kind of like Silent Mike's second rep today with 315.
I got a little weird.
That was a weird one.
I think my elbows just got all funky. I got scared. 2 handsome men spotting me. I got nervous.
That's what happens.
Yeah, you helped me with my bench programming for more recently too, and you had me do typical speed work every 2 or 3 weeks. I guess to call it a deload or save your shoulders or, you know, kind of a lighter day because the other days I was pressing heavy boards or pressing heavy off the chest. And I think that's kind of rare even nowadays for Raw guys, you know, to think, oh, speed works for geared guys and bands and chains are for geared guys. But my bench hasn't felt better since I've been at my strongest ever on my bench since you started helping me.
Speed bench did feel a lot of favor lately. There was a couple Raw lifters that acted like it didn't work. I think the way some people do it is wrong, that they'll just drop it like it's hot. And if that's not how you do your competition grip, I mean, your competition negative, then it's not going
to
work.
So try to do everything the same.
Exactly the same.
Right.
And then bands really help a lot.
Yeah, I like bands. They feel good. It's a good change of pace. You handle kind of – it feels heavy at your lockout, but you can still get it moving kind of quick. The other thing we talked about today and footage to come, but you told me that you try to press everything smooth and fast, not try to grind, right? You start grinding, your CNS gets used to that grind, then you'll start grinding 80% where you start – everything's fluid, hopefully heavy weights, you said. Like, yeah, I'll smash 730 and then 745, I might just miss it.
Right.
But it might as well hit a big weight fast. That's kind of the goal, right?
And then the bands keep you to accelerate through the lift. You always want to keep accelerating. Some people blow it off their chest, and then at that sticking point, they slow up too much. If you have enough speed off your chest, you could actually bench more than your sticking point because you use the momentum out the bottom to just fly right through it.
Yeah, the bands have always helped me a lot, and we've been talking about them forever. And, some of the Raw guys aren't fans of the bands or the chains. Sometimes they're not fans of, like, the slingshot. But you not only used some of the different slingshot, you used the strongest slingshot, which is also not a favorable thing for a Raw guy to do. You know, like, can you talk about that a little bit? The Mad Dog slingshot, you like to kind of handle some big weights with that sucker.
I mean, it's an overload. So if I'm feeling 765 and I'm able to put it through a whole rep, when I go back down to 725 or 705, it's just going to feel lighter. And it's all about overloading, and it's overloading safe. It's the safest way you're going to be able to lift and overload, and that's why it's so effective.
And you also talked about doing reps with it. Like, so you're doing sets of 5. add a slingshot on, and now you're going to do the same weight, but just for more reps.
If I was doing 600 for five, I had a slingshot, I'm getting 10 reps. So now my time under tension just got doubled with that 600.
Yeah.
And that's actually a really big help.
I think that part of the problem with some of the raw lifters that don't like these other methods is that they turn raw lifting into a religion, which it's not.
Right.
And so, like, it's all about denying yourself all the things that could possibly help you.
Right. Totally agree.
And I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, fuck all you listeners.
Well, a lot of times they're just barbell, like an Olympic lifter. And the Olympic lifters, you know, in America, they fucking suck. Because
but what
they're
do they know
following.
About pec decks?
Right. Right. Well, because they're not doing enough of the assistance exercise. They're not doing – and we know some guys that actually are pretty good at Olympic lifting that utilize a variety of training.
Some of the homies at Cal Strength are benching all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Right. They're doing a variety of things. They follow a jacked and tan plan for a couple of weeks. They work on hypertrophy.
Yeah,
they work
just
on
do
getting
some
bigger.
Dumbbell stuff. Yeah,
and
why
I
not
think,
do that in powerlifting?
I think it's important for even a powerlifter. Powerlifters need to step outside their comfort zone more and do a little bit of bodybuilding stuff and do a little bit of stuff that the shirted and geared guys were doing years ago. There's
totally
no reason.
Agree.
There's no reason why you can't do it. Ted Arcidi, who was a geared lifter pretty much. I mean, he didn't have much going on back then in terms of powerlifting gear, but his 705 bench was done in a you know Inzer Blast shirt back in the day. But that guy was incredibly strong. He used to do behind the neck presses, like, you know, four or five plates or some shit like that, you know.
He actually had the raw 275 record.
He did 675 or something, right?
Maybe 666. I'm not
sure. Oh, yeah, 660, yeah.
And Laszlo
Hornstra? Oh.
Laszlo Mazurus, I think, broke it, and then maybe Hornstra then had broken it.
Yeah, yeah, he did have that for a while.
I think Hornstra might have been 675.
Yeah, Tedder had it for like 20 years.
Yeah, Tedder City was huge.
Wasn't he one of your biggest inspirations anyway?
Yeah.
That was Anthony Clark and Tedder City.
Anthony Clark. God damn, Anthony Clark was strong. Anthony Clark was the first teenager to ever
been 600
pounds.
What about Michael Clark Duncan?
No? He can probably
not related.
Motherfucker.
Anthony Clark Duncan was pretty jacked back in the day, but he's dead now, so
yeah.
R.I.P.
They're both dead, right?
Everybody's dead.
No. The
Michael Clark Duncan.
And Anthony Clark.
Oh, there we go, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, not Tedder City.
Are they related?
That's what I thought. Maybe. So God, sad. So.
Anthony Clark's was like a big Samoan.
Yeah, Anthony Clark was huge.
Huge.
Yeah. He'd always wear all the, like, he'd be decked out head to toe in spandex. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Eric, you saw we did a bench press with, like, Robot and our homie Marcus today, and you would see Marcus touch 315 or 365, and kind of by the speed and form. You could tell, like, oh, he probably benches, right. You know, close to five, and you were right. He benched like 480 or something. You know, he's right there on that border. You just have a good feel for that because you've been doing this forever, and you're a big bencher. What are your thoughts? I know there's like articles and like Sports Illustrated, and like even YouTube videos talking about like WWE guys or pro athletes. Like they said, I think they said Tiger Woods benched 375. They said, who is it? Like Batista or like Brock Lesnar? I think they said Brock Lesnar benched 675. Have you seen some of those numbers?
I've seen some of those numbers.
And they're all horseshit, huh? That's what you're telling me?
I mean, there was a time when Tiger Woods maybe could have lifted that. I thought Brock's was lower.
Maybe it was 575. I don't know. But yeah, there's something where they went through every WWE lifter and said their best. I think they said Cena's, you know, like 515, and Mark's like, yeah, I've probably seen that.
That sounds
you know?
About right.
Cena's best bench press is 484, I believe.
Okay, then maybe they say that on the – I know they, there's a list.
That's right
they
there.
Say it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's strong.
Yeah. And then Mark Henry, whatever, six.
Plus
something.
John, you know, he tore his pec a few years ago.
Right, and now he does kind of weightlifting anyways. He doesn't even.
Yeah. Well, I mean, John, a lot of those dudes are strong.
Henry's a whole other ball game.
Yeah, he's a real strength athlete.
That's one of the strongest humans to walk the planet.
Yeah, he was a freak. Who's kind of, you know, you mentioned, you know, Ted Arcidi and Anthony Clark and stuff. Who else, some people that you looked up to or people that you look up to now? Like,
well,
what
Cone,
do you,
yeah. Of course.
Yeah, Eddie Cone.
That's about as good
fucking,
as you get. The ultimate.
Fucking king.
I love how
when motivated and inspired by some of the things some of the guys are doing today.
Oh well, with Ed Cohen, I was going to say what I love about him so much. When he did a meet, he wanted to win that meet. He didn't go. I want to win the 220 or the 198 or the 242.
Yeah.
He wanted to be the strongest guy on that platform. So you got to respect that. And that's
amazing.
I mean, obviously Eric Lillibridge. You watch him now. Absolute just freak.
Yeah, he's strong everywhere. Every movement, you know.
Pushing
he's,
the limits.
What,
yeah.
A 551 bench, 1,025 squat, and what did he pull?
850?
Yeah, some 850, yeah.
So on that last meet, if think he, would he pull his hamstring on the second deadlift?
I think so, yeah.
So he had a shot at breaking the all-time.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to close in on a 2,500-pound raw total.
It doesn't even seem right.
No, it doesn't. I mean, there's just it's weird the way that powerlifting goes, you know. There's Andrei Milanichev, you know, is in the same realm as him, obviously, because Andrei is currently the all-time world record holder, but. Other than those two guys, there's nobody.
It's a big drop-off after that.
Yeah, no one's doing shit like that, I mean, at all.
And the lighter weight classes, obviously, guys that are amazing. But, yeah, but it's different. Yeah. But, you know, there's some Believ and Pozdiev and then Dan Green. Those guys put up stupid numbers in all three lifts. Yeah. But nothing on that level.
What's the other guy who went against Dan Green, but he didn't make weight?
Zahir?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy's out of his mind, huh?
But think how long that record held until Milanichev broke it.
Yeah. Who, Reinhout.
Yeah, Reinhout.
Don Reinhout.
Well, probably with some ace bandage, knee wraps.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably walked it out. I mean, he's just.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Some old rickety piece of shit rack.
Yeah, shitty bar.
Unbelievably strong. Just, that's how good that number is. It just happens to be two freaks at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know. He was doing that so long ago, too. You know what I mean? It's like, what, the fucking late 60s or something, or 70s or something.
Yeah, what kind of equipment did they have in the 60s?
Yeah, I don't know. Some piece of shit.
I'm such a diva now, you know? Like,
what's kind of your,
bars?
The way you start, is you start like, you start lifting in your garage, or?
Started in the basement. With the cement plates.
Did mom or dad buy plates, or you have older brothers, sisters, or?
I don't know how I got those. Hand-me-downs, garage sale. Got them, and then
Like an old piece of shit set, like a Sears one with the bars close to your head, you know?
Yep. And then
sand weights kind of deal?
Vinyl cover.
Cement filled in those old plastic ones. And then I had a competition bench maybe at like 14. Got like used up like two birthdays, two Christmases to get it. And that was it. I was hooked.
That was your thing? You were like, you into video games at all or anything like that?
Yeah, I played video games. But
a little bit, but you were mainly into lifting.
I wanted to be the strongest guy in the gym. Didn't care about necessarily at that time to be the biggest. I wanted to lift more than anyone at that gym.
That's where I messed up. I wanted to be the best at Mario Kart.
That's where you made the big mistake.
Fuck.
If we can only go back.
I could have been in that seat right now.
See, Excite Bike, if you had been playing that.
Excite Bike was dope.
Secret. That's
that game was
about.
Great.
It'll make them like that.
Fuck, man. God damn, we got to get some on Excite Bike. Fuck.
Double Dribble?
God damn. Double Dribble, the first game to start talking, man. That fucking shit blew my mind.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Double Dribble. I remember that shit. That shit was
double
awesome.
Double Dribble.
Yeah, that game was awesome. Remember Punch-Out back in the day? Like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was fucking awesome, but the arcade game was sick.
Right.
The problem with the arcade game, though, is the joystick was, like, really late.
Well, it's all sticky.
It never fucking worked.
Everybody had their fucking sticky fingers on it.
It never worked. You fucking hit it.
All that's
just
about to be on the iPad in 2016.
I know. We're dead.
What?
I think Nintendo did a deal with...
Did you hear him? He just
with,
went, what?
You did, too, the first time I told
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't even have a controller.
I think it'll be on touchscreen.
Yeah, I can't do that touchscreen crap.
Too old school. Yeah. Maybe you could attach a controller to it.
Yeah,
I
like
plug it in.
He'll try to plug in his old Nintendo controller.
Blow on it.
Yeah, like the cartridge. You had the fucking...
So annoying, oh, man.
It was a science.
Yeah. Maybe they'll make a Bluetooth controller.
Yeah,
something.
I think Nintendo cartridges taught all of us how to love a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really took a long time to start her up, didn't it? God damn.
That was Nintendo's secret.
I guess. I don't know.
You don't know.
I still don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
I can get a video game to go, but ladies.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a mystery.
So you just started freaking lifting, no coaching, no, you know, just kind of just doing your own thing, or did you have
yeah, there's no bodybuilding.com. Yeah. How the hell did you guys
friends
learn how to lift?
Or older brothers, or
you don't want to know, buying like muscle and fitness magazines and following some fake Doreen Yates 20 set garbage.
Yeah, was there VHS?
That was fake. Fuck.
VHS tapes
just,
or something
just
you guys
in.
Would buy. I swear, because I started like really lifting when I was 18. You know, that's, 2007.
Five, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. That was like 2007. But like, I would just Google like how to bench press. And like, Dave
nice.
Tate would pop up, you know, right. or his fat face would pop up.
We didn't have any of that.
I mean, you're just lifting like idiots
magazines,
probably.
You got Let's take Men Muscle Media 2000 came.
Oh, that was the fucking life. A. Bill Phillips, man.
Yeah, that was
God damn. Bill Phillips. I don't even know who he is, but I know he wears the Jack and Tan shirt.
Well, yeah. His brother did that, how to put 50 pounds on your bench press in
still
six
the most
weeks
successful
like
book in fitness, I think.
I stumbled on that. Yeah. I have it from like 20 years ago, and it has my original number still in it.
Nice. Oh, shit. You got to publish that shit.
That thing is old.
You used to train like that a little bit, though, because that, I mean, from what I remember from that book, I can't barely remember some of it, but I think it's an old like pyramid kind of thing, like where you would go higher reps in the beginning, and then you'd go down to lower reps, and then you'd go back up to higher reps. Is that something
within
you would
a workout?
Mess with? Yeah.
And there were negatives, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've done a Bulgarian training method. You remember that? 2 times a day training?
Dude, I remember. I remember.
I think you've told this story.
Yeah, I remember. My brother had like some book that had the Bulgarian system in it. I'm like, the summer's coming up. I can work out 3 times a day. This is fucking perfect for me.
I know
was
the
so
book system.
Pumped.
I still got like 2 or 3 of those books. Like,
yeah, that was great. Yeah, I've heard. You know, some people have told me that you. You really love that kind of shit. You have a bunch of books, and you're into supplements and stuff.
Yep.
I mean, you even told us earlier you make your own pre-workout.
Make everything.
Yeah.
Everything I make.
What kind of stuff are you throwing in your pre-workout? You buy bulk powders, but like what kind of stuff?
It'd be creatine, caffeine, guarana.
Guarana.
Beta-alanine, ribose, citrulline malate. What else? Could be forgetting something. And then I'll do an intra workout.
This pre-workout costs $78 per scoop.
The vanilla gorilla coming towards you.
Yeah, damn.
Only flavor is vanilla.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, and actual real dosages that actually would be effective. So
yeah. A
couple grams.
But it's tons of powder. How do you flavor it? Or you just take it to the face?
I have flavoring. Yeah. I order flavoring.
Because beta-alanine stuff tastes pretty gross, doesn't it?
Yeah, it tastes pretty gross.
Yeah.
But if you could just get Kool-Aid powder and throw it in.
Yeah, or mix it in with Gatorade or something, maybe.
Well, it'll probably still taste pretty funky.
All right, what about intra-workout?
Intra-workout, BCAs and electrolytes.
And you buy those bulk?
Yep.
Dang.
That's it. Make your own stuff.
What about food? What about food-wise?
You make your own food in bulk?
That's what I don't like. stick to, you know, just high-quality proteins, ton of eggs, as much as vegetables as I could choke down, a bunch of fruit.
Kind of basic.
Yeah.
At least in Vegas, they have some, like, healthy eating spots. Yeah, don't they have, like, a Muscle Grill or something like that? Me and Smelly were talking about there's nothing like that around here. Where you could just get, like, a...
Oh, ton of stuff. Protein Factory.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Greens and proteins.
Right.
I think there's another...
Are you meticulous with your meals? Do you try to, like, you know, get 5 or 6 meals in a day, or...?
No, probably not. I don't think I get... I think based on how far you're along the scale, ecto, endo, meso, determines how many meals you have to get. I think I could stand when I watch him.
Yeah.
He's more of an ecto.
He's naturally kind of skinny.
Yeah, he needs those 6 meals.
Are you saying that Stan's a bitch? Stan, you skinny bitch, if you're listening.
No way he listens to us. Yeah, he only listened to his own episode.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. Stan's on the episode. This is zero. Yeah. You will ever listen to this.
That's true. We can talk as much shit about it right now as we want. He'll never hear it.
He'll never come back to him. If
that makes sense.
Yeah, more meso, endo.
We were just talking about that the other day. Yeah, plays
in. You totally get away. Ectos have to overeat. I mean, there's dudes who, no matter what they do, can't eat weight.
Yeah, they just need more calories, more meals.
More calories, and that late-night meal is the secret. That, like, right before you go to bed, full avocado, ton of nuts.
Whoa, wait, what? What right before bed?
Tons of nuts. Tons hear of that, nuts. Ladies? Our two lady listeners. You better get on those nuts.
Tons of nuts.
Got it. 11:30, nuts. Okay, thanks, Photo.
And choke down about 16 ounces of cottage cheese, and you'll...
16 inches of what?
What? What the hell?
You'll be good for the night.
Put you right to sleep.
It's just important to get a big meal in, basically, you know, before you go to bed for some of the people that have trouble gaining
those
weight.
Skinny bitches.
And it's going to be slow because then the fat's going to slow down the
digestion and everything.
The cottage cheese to begin with. The cottage cheese is the slowest digestion.
And you get all your farts out where you're sleeping.
Exactly.
So then, that makes sense.
Yeah, my farts are just constant throughout the entire day, basically.
Do you wake up
whether
to fart?
Whether I'm sleeping or not.
You wake up to fart, though. Like, even like a...
No,
so
I got...
You wake up for like 5 seconds, and you're like... And then you're right back to sleep.
No, I got woken up the other day. I got elbowed in the chest by my wife. I'm like, I know, I'm snoring. She's like, no, you've been farting for the last hour straight. I'm like, you're full of shit. There's no way.
Seep it out.
Call Silent Mike. He knows that I don't do that. He'll verify me. Yeah. I'm good.
But you can sort of maybe do something about snoring, but how are you going to stop farting in the middle
of the
night?
Butt plug.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a little intimate.
We could invent that, actually.
I think she just wanted me to sleep outside.
Yeah.
Well, if you stick in a butt plug, you're going to start floating up toward the ceiling at some point, right?
Yeah, like Willy Wonka's factory.
Exactly. You're start burping it up.
Oh. Well, that's disgusting. Yeah. Burp something so gross it's a
reverse
fart.
Peristalsis.
That was
shit coming out your mouth. Goddamn.
The shit smelly says.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's disgusting. What's life like in Vegas, man? Everyone knows Vegas for like parties and whatever.
We've been talking for 45 minutes already?
God, time flies when you're with this handsome
devil.
Yeah,
what do you got going on in Vegas, buddy?
What's it like? Bunch of weirdos everywhere?
Oh, there's weirdos, right?
Yeah, you go to the gym, there's just people wearing nothing, doing squats or something.
And then you got the, when the Olympia comes, you know.
The worst. The Olympia, yeah, have you been to the Arnold, yeah?
Yeah, I've been to Arnold. I thought it was a little overrated. I like the Olympia better.
Yeah, the Arnold's fine. They're both, I love them both, but you go to the Olympia and there's a certain type of person running around. You go to the Arnold, it's more like random people. At least some people are in like collars, like just a golf dad or something.
To give you
the Olympia, there's some fucking
people singing. Yeah, I have a great time at the Olympia. To give you an idea how funny the Olympia is, at the Orleans, when they're one of the major hosts of it, when you get a room, there's a piece of paper that says to not dispose of your needles into the trash can.
Oh, my God.
It
great.
Says that on every room when during the
celebrity system. That's like, where were we smelling? Was it the Arnold? There's somewhere they're trying to bring me in smelly extra towels because they thought we were tanning each other.
Oh, my God.
Or something.
They thought we were so gay. Yeah. That was
the Arnold. That was the Arnold. They're like, oh, sir, we just had like coffee. We had caveman coffee.
Eric,
so
do we look gay? Never mind.
Yeah, they thought we were
don't
about
answer
to
that.
Rub each other down all day.
Yeah, that was horrible.
That was very judgmental of them.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty bad.
Just because we lift some weights.
They didn't look
anymore.
So straight themselves. Who are we kidding?
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, they knew.
Maybe that's why you're getting this special consideration.
They wanted to come in and rub us down or something. Yeah. The hotels in Vegas are great, though, like during the Olympia.
The best.
You see people like we're waking up early to like get breakfast and then head to the event or whatever. And we see people, they're going back to their hotel room.
Yeah, stumbling.
6 or 7.
Oh,
yeah. You know,
dresses
in the morning,
are ripped.
Yeah.
No, but also just people watching. I walk through the hotel and Ronnie Coleman's walking through. You know, it's so awesome.
Yeah, with some nice clown pants on.
Aw.
Yeah, buddy.
I like to think
buddy.
Of as MC Hammer pants.
Yeah, MC Hammer. Amazing. Tell us about your arm wrestling days, buddy. What was going on with some of that shit?
Was that that was all pre powerlifting?
Yep, all pre powerlifting. I was really focused on it, wanted to be the best in the world at that. Did a couple competitions, won a couple competitions, and kind of realized you couldn't do both. I wanted to bench, I wanted to do arm wrestling, and a lot of older arm wrestlers who are unbelievable, like John Brzezink, still in his 50s, still could beat anyone almost.
Even Sylvester Stallone with a backwards hat?
That's actually who the movie's based on.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a true story.
John also wasn't that big, right? He wasn't a huge guy, right?
He's
That's Pulling
the most
John,
dominant,
right? That's
yeah.
the documentary, right?
Probably the most dominant athlete in any sport comparatively that ever in existence. He would beat, like, let's say the best Russian in the world, and the guy would be like 400 pounds, and they'd fly him out there, and he'd run through him and weigh 200 pounds.
Wow.
And then just...
Just murder everybody.
I've arm wrestled him a couple
Anybody
times.
Anybody who hasn't seen that, you should fucking watch it. Pulling John is pretty goddamn cool. It gives you a good glimpse of what arm wrestling is all about and how dominant this guy was as an athlete.
He would win 3 to 4 classes easily. And he actually won the over-the-top. It was actually a real tournament in Las Vegas. He's in the movie. He has a little cameo in it. And it just shows you that it's not the type of sport where you could... It's not a young man's sport. You could be any age and be dominant. Benching is kind of more of a young man's sport. I'd probably say past your mid-40s, you're probably not going to probably hit a PR. After 45, it'd be really hard, unless you're probably staying to a...
Are you going to be able to go back to arm wrestling, you think?
That's the plan. I definitely want to arm wrestle again. I like it, but...
What's next then, benching or arm wrestling?
I'll benching.
Benching and then arm wrestling.
I'll bench until I rip my shoulder off.
Just, what's the goal with the bench? Let's say you do come back from this shoulder injury that you've had that slowed you down a little bit. Let's say you get back and you hit 744 or so, and you just will that be? You think that'll be it, and you'll go off and maybe arm wrestle?
No, it's not good enough. I want 750.
750, okay.
I like that number.
The kilo number is 755.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or 749 is your other choice. You're fucked.
I think you could add those.
You might be able to. Yeah,
500 grams for a world.
Yeah, you might be able to. Yeah,
so like 750 and change, maybe.
750. That's a nice huge bench. That's insane.
It could be done. I think I've been close to that strength at a time.
What was the deal with arm wrestling? How were you? Were you competitive? Were you good?
I mean, for the first three tournaments I won, I walked in and won.
Big tournaments or just local shit or what?
Decent-sized tournaments. It was one of the highest-paying tournaments in California.
More money than powerlifting?
At the time, I think I ended up with like $1,500.
So, yeah, maybe.
Can't complain about it.
Yeah.
Who is the big guy that I see every year at the Olympia? Older guy. Probably about 60 years old. Huge. He's
Richard Lupkus.
Yeah. So, great guy. So you're being very humble right now because Richard told me that you're the best talent he's ever seen. He told me, he was like, Eric Spoto is a fucking freak of an arm wrestler.
Yeah.
He just said, like, he's like, that guy, man, he came in and he told me that you went to like some camps with some pros and ran through some of these people.
It was mostly training. So it's like, you know, just like in powerlifting, someone comes into your gym, benches 650, it's amazing. But until you do that on the platform, it doesn't count. So
right.
More of those accolades was from beating some of the best guys in the world. Of the top 10 guys, at least three of them at that time I had beaten in practice. Doesn't mean it's the exact same thing as a set match.
But you're up there.
But pulling heads up with some of the top guys I had beaten in practice, and Devin Lorette, who was number one ranked at the time, he came over. I got a couple wins on him. He definitely the guy does not get tired. So I got him down a couple times, and later on, he definitely dominated me.
Right.
And he started writing, saying it was like one of the most power he's ever felt in his life. So then it started.
Right.
A couple other guys, too.
Arm wrestling is really interesting. I mean, you know, when you start to uncover some of these sports, you start to really realize what a real sport it really is. Like, you know, with something like MMA years ago when it first started, you know, they were trying to outlaw it. They actually did outlaw it for a while. They couldn't even get it sanctioned anywhere. People thought it was barbaric. They just thought it was just fighting. They just thought it was insane. They weren't used to it, you know. But then as they uncovered it, they kind of discovered that it's a real sport. Do you find that to be true with arm wrestling? Like, some of these guys are fucking awesome athletes?
100%. It's totally surprised me. I've been arm wrestling my whole life, not competitively. So I really thought it was you just lock up and who's ever stronger wins. It is truly a chess match. There's moves, and then there's other moves, and there's moves that counter other moves. And this guy could beat this guy, but then we'll get killed by the guy who
beat
that
guy. Maybe more like regular wrestling.
Yeah.
And using, I can't say his last name that well, Richard
Lupkus.
Yeah, using him as an example, that guy's a mutant. I mean, I saw a video of that guy. I want to say maybe he's bench pressing around 500 pounds.
Yes, he's over 500 pound bencher.
Yeah, for maybe even two or three reps or something like that. I saw him benching 405 super fast, you know, with greatest of ease. I saw him doing pull-ups with a ton of weight around, you know. I saw him doing the stack with a seated – I saw him doing all these kind of things. Is that kind of par for the course with arm wrestling? Are these guys – a lot of these guys mutants?
Yeah, Richard – well, you just happen to pick out probably the mutant of all mutants. If you look at his films in the 80s, they did what's called sit-down arm wrestling, where that was less technique and more pure horsepower.
You're sitting in a chair.
Sitting in a chair, and he was so dominant, I don't recall ever seeing a match. It was a flash. I'd never seen it.
He's just ripping people's arms off.
He was that dominant.
Yeah.
And he's not considered a technical arm wrestler.
Right.
He doesn't even – arm wrestling is one of those things that you could practice all you want with weights, with cables. You will not be good, really, if you don't train with guys. So arm wrestlers have a team.
So it's really gay.
Yes, yeah, very good.
No. Got to train with
not
guys.
As bad as powerlifting, I don't think.
Only if you train naked. So you got to go against guys because you're feeling the different moves and countering the different moves. So Richard Lupkus doesn't train with no one. He's like on a Minnesota farm.
Right.
He's that strong. Right. So the only way you're probably going to beat him is to kind of cheat him. It's not cheating.
Yeah, yeah. Pull some tricks.
Yeah, you're doing some garbage to beat a guy like that. He's got that much power, pure power. Some dudes are just speed guys. The Travis Bajan is so fast left-handed, and if you stop him, you beat him.
Right.
I've seen him right-handed someone just stops him. He just gives up and lets you be.
Travis is the guy that yells at everybody, right?
Yeah, he's fine. Travis is a great guy.
He's fired up.
He's definitely one of the coolest guys. The first tournament I ever went to, he was like the guy there, and he came over to me specifically, introduced himself to me, and was talking to me.
Oh, cool.
So he's a really cool guy.
So now you're, you know, your focus is on powerlifting. You want to come back. You want to hit that, you know, 750-plus bench. And what are some other things you got going on? And the shirt, it says Vanilla Gorilla on the front. It says ericsboto.com on the back. You got a book out, like a bench press ebook or something like that, right?
Right. I got an ebook. Probably at the end of next year, I'm going to release a lot more ebooks. I do custom training, one-on-one customer programs, things like that. Got some supplements in the work.
Oh,
got
cool.
A couple things to burner. I got a squat device that I'm working on, which sounds weird for me, I know. It should be a bench device.
Yeah.
I think you got that.
Well, you told me about it, and it sounds great. You know, it sounds interesting, and I think it's something that will work really well.
I think
it'll fit into a lot of people's needs.
I think if it's a lot of, without giving too much information out there, a lot of rehab, prehab, and a lot of athletes' needs.
Yeah. Well, you know, an athlete, you know, why do they need to always do like a regular squat? We always talk about it here on a podcast. They can get away with a box squat. They can get away with even squatting.
Slingshot bench, block pulls. They don't need to do the competition lifts always.
Right, just because not that those exercises aren't extremely effective. It's just that the risk-to-reward ratio sometimes is increased a little too much.
And your idea fits that pretty well.
I think there was a major strongman back in the day. I don't know why his name's missing me. One of the most famous guys ever. That's how he tore his shoulder, a pec, was actually squatting.
Mm. Right. Yeah, there's a lot of demands on the upper body.
Is it Kazmaier, maybe?
Yeah, Kazmaier.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know why I always forget his name.
Yeah. Bill Kazmaier,
one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, one of the greatest strongmen ever and one of the greatest powerlifters of all time. He had the all-time powerlifting record.
He
had the all-time bench
record. He hit like a 661,
How crazy is that? He had the all-time bench record with a 661 bench.
Right.
And at the same time, he was just destroying people in strongman. Like, that's nuts.
I think they didn't allow him to do two or three events.
Yeah.
I remember reading something like that.
Yeah, I mean, imagine today, you know, Brian Shaw having the all-time bench press record along with the all-time total, along with being the most dominant strongman in the game.
It'll never happen again.
I just don't think so. Although, you know, someone like Sidrunas Savickas is – He may perhaps be one of the strongest guys ever walk the face of the earth. There's a couple other guys that you got to put in that same category, but you know, Sidrunas Savickas, what I hear, he can bench press. He's deadlifting around 900 pounds. He's squatting around 900
overhead
pounds.
Overhead press, ridiculous.
Yeah, overhead press and file. You know, so it's just I'd love to see that guy jump into some powerlifting. Hopefully it's not too late. Hopefully we'll see him jump into some powerlifting. But some of the strength levels of some of these people out there is just fucking unbelievable. It's insane.
I got queued up here all three lists from that record-breaking day. If you want to maybe give us some commentary on them as they roll by, and then I'll just link this in.
First off, let's just say how handsome you look right there.
Yeah.
Before you start on this just a little bit too much you know, what was some of the preparation leading into this? What were some things that you had to do differently from going from being a Justin Bieber YouTube sensation to actually becoming a real-life powerlifter?
I mean, it starts with peaking at the right time. Because the thing is with a gym lift is you go every Monday or you go every day, and you're going to have that day you feel good. And you have a day you feel like crap. When you have a meet set, there's no feeling like crap. You got to be on point that day because there's no second.
That's the time to do it.
So you just got to try to fine tune that body to where you're at the strongest possible state on that day. And I tried to work on that. I tried to get as much food as possible in me.
Without going in too much detail in like a peaking program or whatever, you know, if people want help, they can go to your website. But just give us a 4-month lead up, or 4-week lead up, just a broad idea of how to peak.
Well, 4 weeks would be pretty short, so.
Yeah, which is
if I even stretch it out a little longer, I would go from higher reps to try to actually build muscle and then start going to
about
lower reps.
About 12 weeks out maybe.
Yeah, and then go to lower reps to try to now take that added extra muscle because obviously a bigger muscle has the capability to be a stronger muscle. And then now I'm going to go to lower reps. And I'm not the biggest guy on singles. I will do them. I know a lot of guys who do way more singles than I do.
Will you stick to doubles, triples?
I like triples. I really like triples. I feel like it's such a high number. It's so close to the single, yet I'm under tension for so much longer that I feel like I'm going to get way more.
And in some ways, it's safer. Like, you know, if you, you know, if you're going for a triple and you only hit a double because something feels awkward, something feels, you could always put it back in the rack if you have to, you know. So, and the weights are less. You know, it's not as heavy, so it's going to be a little less wear and tear overall, perhaps.
Yeah, that, actually, I was going to ask that earlier. Like, how many times before this run-up did you really do a max single, know what your one-rep max was?
Never.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Did you ever test an opener, like a easy single a week or two out? Or
I had done 705 three times in a day, but that, so that would be more than my opener. But to do a heavy single that late in the game, I feel like more bad could happen than good. Because if you hit it, okay, now that's a weight. Now if you miss it, that's going to be in the back of your head.
Yeah,
Now with the triple, you know where your opener is. Then you, based on that, you're going to pick that second attempt. And if you're going for a world record, it's a no-brainer. You got no choice.
Yeah, you know what the number is.
Something that I was taught at Westside Barbell, and you don't see too many people do, because – I think everyone's just kind of scared to do it. But what Louis Simmons would always say is that you train through your meet, not like to your meet. So, for example, with you, like he would probably even say, don't even really worry about the single. Who gives a fuck about your opener? You're not even there to do an opener. Just keep training. Just keep getting stronger. And you kind of hear some complaints from some of the CrossFitters when they do the this CrossFit Open, or they have to go to like regionals or something. It sidelines their actual training. And it actually makes them
fatigued.
Well, it actually makes them like worse. Like, you know, and so in some cases, when you come down to those last 3 weeks, if you only do single, maybe you're not getting enough volume. Maybe you're not getting the training in that you need to really be stronger. But you're
totally
fearful
agree.
Of the meet. You're like, oh, my God, I got to, you know, I got to see where I'm at. But you probably don't even really need to test where you're at until you're at the fucking meet.
Or what's the benefit of seeing where you're at?
Right.
It's actually going to put a limitation on
Instagram,
just you're nervous.
Instagram
so you just need to
I don't want that limitation on my brain. I don't want to know I missed a 715. Because when that 722 comes on, you're going to really second-guess yourself.
675 for three, you're like, fuck, it's another 25 pounds to do 700. I'll smoke that fucking thing. And you don't even really need to know what it feels like all that much.
Exactly.
Last question on the prep. When was like your last heavy session? 10 weeks or 10 days out, 3 days out, two weeks out?
It's about like a 10-day out.
Yeah, and then you just hit something like some speed work. Maybe.
And then I want to get under it again and do some maybe singles with like 65%, just to get under it, feel stuff, dial in the form.
Yeah, 3 to 5 days totally off, and then go time.
There it is. Probably about like 5 days off.
So simple.
Let's roll it.
And then get some food in me. Try to eat as much as possible. You know when you're training at that level.
Whoa, who's that handsome devil in the background?
Meals in you. Look at the cameo.
Silent Mike, making
10 pounds less muscle in that picture. We got 15 pounds less.
Yeah, I was kind of a bitch. I'm still
kind of
a bitch.
Is that a cross country runner?
What is this opening weight here?
I want to say 660. I could be wrong.
660.
Very prototype gangster raps you got going on.
Yeah,
huh?
This is what brought them out the game. I think.
It was the very first gangster raps. I think.
Oh yeah.
More questions about what I was sniffing than
it's
anything
always,
else. Usually,
always
sniffing a pair of panties.
I did a whole video on it. He's got like 60
men's panties. Get you fired up.
Look at that.
Oh.
Wow.
Fucking butter.
Fucking fast.
That felt easy.
Do you remember some of this? I thought you did 675 in the warm-up room, so that had to be heavier than that.
675 in the warm-up room was when I bombed.
Oh.
That came up like nothing.
Remember, that was smoked. That was so fast.
I choked that day. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong. It's not an excuse. It's my own fault. I mean, I
blame Silent Mike. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, maybe if I was more jacked, it would have helped us all.
I forgot my belt on the 716, matter of fact, I think. I don't even think I had my belt with me.
Now this, so this one here, this is the 716, I believe.
Can we pause it real quick?
Yeah.
I think I'm in the back sipping a White Monster. Just to let this is what, 3 years ago? Mm. I started this White Monster fucking trend. Everybody thinks
confirmed?
They started this. This is 3 years ago. I'm back there fucking sipping away. Smelly didn't even drink energy drinks then. I got him addicted.
2 years ago.
Nope. Sorry. I wasn't into energy drinks. Some pre-workout I was into. But
yeah, I couldn't do pre-workout about 5 years ago. I need to try yours, Eric, because like it always jacks on my stomach. regardless of caffeine.
Makes you poo?
I can handle caffeine. I can handle creatine, obviously. I can handle
the Monster phenomenon really started, though, when Jim kind of started, like, talking about his White Monster in kind of a disgusting,
but I'm just saying that
weird sexual way.
I said I was...
was making us disturbed.
Yeah. I said I was all jacked up on White Monster.
Yeah,
you were. Hopped up, actually, is the word I was...
White Monster.
That's I'm just saying that this is way throwback. Mark's back there half-naked in a singlet. Eric's smashing world records, and I'm starting world trends.
This lift, I was a little nervous. I jumped the call. This is
the 716, yeah.
This is definitely a questionable lift.
Yeah, this freaked me the fuck out. I went to, like, the judges. I went to the scores table, and I put judges in the chair, and they are there, and I trust them to make the right call.
Everybody's nervous. Yeah, that's a huge lift.
But, that was a touch-and-go bench press.
That was touch-and-go.
They gave you white lights. I couldn't overturn it. I was powerless. There's not much you can really do, even though I am the state chairman.
I wasn't happy about that.
Yeah, you can't really. Your reaction wasn't that great.
There's no replay.
I wasn't happy with it.
There's no replay in powerlifting,
I wasn't happy with it. I felt like...
it's paused in the picture.
At that stage, it's such a build-up for someone. That would be where my disadvantage came into play. I had only done... one meet previously, and most people get to do like 10 meets where no one knows your name.
Right.
When this is like everyone's talking about it.
The Justin Bieber effect you got.
Yeah, so you're coming out the gate with all the pressure in the world. And
but you got one more attempt.
And this one I was like, I'll wait till I hear him say it.
Well, Stan was telling me too, kind of leading up to this, that you don't really like the crowd, like you're not really into that kind of thing. So was that different for you too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the kind of
not that you don't like it, but that's not your thing.
Some people swear they thrive off of it, get stronger. Right. I mean, I'm going to train max out crazy, kill myself by myself in the gym or with 1,000 people there. There's no difference.
Right. And here we go. We got the 722 on there.
Yeah, and I waited and I heard him.
Yep.
Popped it up.
That's a legit press.
It was a grinder. Shaking. I maybe had... 2-3 pounds max left in me. Probably not even another 5. It was close.
Yeah. Well, and doing the 716 before that probably took a little out of you.
Yeah, it's kind of a small jump for like world record holders, right? They start making, even in the bench, 40-pound jumps. You did a bunch of lifts above 700. That's hard.
That's actually what makes going for a world record so easy. When other people, they don't know what to do your third lift. You have no choice.
Yeah.
You know what it is. You know what it takes to beat it, so it's either going to hit or you're going to miss the
try. Look at that freaking forearm. Goddamn.
It's a big boy.
I think I was 314 that day. And then I had told Stan I was 320 because he was telling me, as long as you're 320, you'll be okay. So I was like scared to tell him that I only weigh 314. So I was like, yeah, I was 320. I had like boots on. I weighed everything because I knew. I didn't want to tell him I didn't make the 320 cutoff that he was looking for.
Oh, well.
You next time around, you're going to try to beef up a little bit more, get up to like 330 or so?
I had two goals that I wanted to do. I wanted to do maybe as I'm like progressing up, I would have liked to do a bench 700 under 300. I think that'd be a pretty impressive feat. I don't think it's ever been done. Well, it's never been done, but especially as a guy my height, that's actually that's pretty tough to do. And then from that point, but if I'm not at that weight, then I would just skip that and just go to
750.
Well, my opener would be. Pretty high, and then my second attempt would have to be over 722, because anything less than that is pointless.
Right.
And then the third attempt is going to be the least amount over 750, whatever that is. And I'll either go for it or miss it, but I'm going for it.
What do you think drives you? What do you think your motivation was to break the record in the first place?
The fact that I knew I was capable of it. The fact that it's like... all I want to be able to lift is what I'm capable of lifting. It doesn't. If someone goes out and benches 800, it is what it is. I want to be able to bench the most I'm capable of. So at the end of the day, I can't say I didn't give it my best effort. I didn't try my hardest.
Right. But this is about a little bit more than just doing your best, though. This is about doing better than anybody has ever done before.
Yeah, any human being ever.
Any human being ever.
It happens to match up that my best.
It just so happens to be that way. You just so happen to kick that much ass.
I mean, if I was benching 500, I probably wouldn't
what about as mentioned. Like a, what about as like a kid or something? Like, were you, you know, determined to, like, you know, do something, to be something, to, you know, is there some sort of driving force behind all this that we should know about?
Not so much, not from the fame aspect, which is what's weird. I never like when I posted those videos on YouTube, I wouldn't even post my name. When I would post all those names, those initial videos, I didn't even write my name on it.
Well, I remember also, too, you're fairly self-conscious. You're like, don't post that. I look fat. And I'm like, fat? The fuck are you talking about? You got a 20-inch forearm. That's all muscle. That's what you're
talking. I mean, it was about just I love strength. I love the idea of old, like, Vikings, gladiators, just true alpha males that are just, you know, not physique models, greased up. I mean, if that's what you like to do, that's what you like to do. But
thanks.
You're motivated
by
it.
Thanks for respecting me.
Wearing boy shorts and greasing up. And, I mean, it's just the ultimate thing is there's a saying. I don't want to butcher it. It's not by like people measure a man by the largest stone they can carry. Or when Benedict, me and him had a conversation, I loved what he was telling me, that back in the day in Iceland, if there was a land dispute, it was who could lift the biggest rock. And that is the ultimate alpha male, just like no lawyers, no paperwork, no bullshit. Who can lift this rock and who can move it the furthest? And I was right. And that's the as male as you get.
You would own a lot of land if it was for bench pressing. Let's put it that way. You'd own this whole fucking gym and the slingshot. That's for sure.
Yeah. Born in the wrong century.
Damn. Has training, been a big staple in your life to kind of keep you on track and keep you away from, you know, we have a lot of people on the show that have dealt with addiction or drugs or alcohol or who've fallen into a slump, depression, whatever those types of things are. There's a lot of bullshit, you know, in people's lives, a lot of distractions and a lot of negativity. Has training been like something that you've been able to kind of hold on to over the years?
Training is therapy. Without training, I don't know what I would do. Like, every bit of frustration, every bit of, you know, every issue you have, you could put out on the weights, and when you're done with that day, you feel 1,000 times better. There's no need to go talk to a shrink. Just go in the gym and kill yourself, and when you leave, you feel amazing. That's it.
I like that style. I like that.
I tell people all the time, no competitions, no YouTube, no any of this. I'd still be at some grungy gym trying to lift the most I could humanly lift.
I think the power of training is like infinite. You know, the things that it can solve, you know, like diabetes, ADHD, the list of things goes
aggression.
On. The list of things goes on and on.
It kills. I had such a temper before I powerlifted.
People it's with true, even man. Like post-traumatic stress disorders and all kinds of things can be solved through training. Obviously, you might need to seek out more help depending on the level you know.
Yeah, we're not telling every
you,
psycho out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to necessarily work for everybody, but I do think that it can help everybody. Like, maybe not solve all their problems, but it should be able to help.
You get a
just
big
about
dick
anybody.
From it.
Yeah, you get a huge cock from it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with a huge cock?
It may
cock?
Not be yours, but, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
And, I mean, that's the message we're always trying to deliver and we're always trying to talk about is it's all about having a huge cock.
When it all comes down to it. No natty spotters.
Somewhere in the equation.
No natty spotters.
Anyway, I think that's it. You know, hit up the Vanilla Gorilla. Check him out. He's on Instagram at...
Is it Eric Spoto underscore or Eric under...
Eric underscore Spoto.
There you go.
S-P-O-T-O?
Yep.
Did I get it right? Goddamn.
Same thing.
That's
Eric's,
a tough name.
EricSpoto.com?
Yeah, EricSpoto.com. No underscore, just Eric Spoto.
EricSpoto.com?
.com.
He's on Instagram. Or you're on Twitter as well, I guess, probably. I don't know.
I'm on Twitter. I've kind of...
little bit.
Not the super most active.
Facebook. I see
Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah, I got to start doing my athlete page. I've neglected that.
He's posting up more videos. He's being more proactive on there, even though he's like me. He's getting fucking old. Older by the fucking second.
That's what happens.
Silent Mike's getting younger. Jim's rotting over here. We're all falling apart. We're all turning into pieces of shit.
You say I'm getting younger?
Yeah, you're getting younger.
Yeah,
we're getting older.
I'm just stealing your guys' fucking mojo.
That's what he's
stealing
doing.
Our thunder.
I feel like it's an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Mm.
You wouldn't know about that, though, Mike.
Goddamn. Help us buy a floating skateboard. You know, go to supertraining.tv and buy a shirt or something so we can afford that floating. And we can come to a city near you and do our podcast on floating skateboards.
On floating skateboards.
You think you can show us how to ride one of those, Mike? Because we don't know how to do it.
I skateboarded a little bit when I was a kid.
You probably did, you
I
fucking nerd.
That. Yeah, I definitely.
Yeah, cargo
that.
Shorts.
You
fucking...
were such a nerd.
Yeah, I was on it.
Some big fat white
check
shoes.
Out my, check out my basketball. Oh my god. I would have kicked your basketball down the street. I know I would have. I'd been like, fuck this guy.
Maybe then I'd bench 550 like you.
With his afro. Yeah, I know.
That's what happened
yeah,
to you. Mark yeah. Mark started benching because someone booted his
punted,
fucking...
Yeah, punted my Jets football into the fucking woods. You're going to spit out your slingshot protein all over the
fuck
place.
Fuck you, buddy. I'll bench you.
Now, who's that guy who's hearing this?
You know Joe Garlop.
Joe, yeah. You son of a bitch.
Joe
you
Garlop,
started super training.
You're probably still in the state penitentiary.
Oh.
If you're listening. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the fuck the guy is. I don't know.
I don't know whether we have prison listeners or not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
I have prison fans. I get letters.
I know you do.
Yeah,
I know you do.
I get letters.
Someone tried to send you to church.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. Yeah, the fellowship.
We thought
yeah.
They thought you were scared.
I should go to church. I should go to fucking church.
Ice Cube's about
my
to do
parents
that.
Are listening right now. And they want me to go to church. Mom and Dad, I will not be at church this Sunday.
Ice probably. Cube's coming to Sacramento.
Ice Cube? Oh, my God.
Bone
that's
Thugs
amazing.
And Harmony.
When's he coming?
I don't know. Soon. Maybe he wants to bench.
Do you know Ice Cube?
Personally? I've met him. Oh, no. No. I was thinking Ice T. No, I don't know Ice Cube.
Ludacris?
Yeah, what rapper do you know? Everybody goes through Vegas. You got to know somebody.
No, he knows a bunch of them. He used to like used to do security and stuff for some of these guys, right?
I don't know any
you
of those
you can't talk
guys.
About it, any of this? Yeah. 50 Cent?
No, I wish I knew 50 Cent.
He's getting all jacked again. Money. You seen him? Yeah, 50's all jacked.
Yeah.
He's been training again? But you did some of that for some people, right? Some security for some famous people or some shit?
Not the type of famous people you'd know.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Oh, you mean like that guy who was handling us, poor Demetrius, had to deal with people who were...
Oh, yeah, maybe. Semi-famous
we were in Tribeca,
people.
Semi-famous. E-listers.
Yeah, I think he got paid to do, like, you know, beat people up or something. I don't know. He's not talking
I'm
about
so
it.
I'm so confused. What's going on tonight? I know this is...
I
want to
give you
future
money to beat up
we're in the future.
We're in the future in the past, but Mayweather-Pacquiao. Oh, that's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. You love fighting.
Tomorrow, yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for Pacquiao. That's just it.
We got to get you back to Vegas in time for it.
That's
yeah.
a rough matchup. That's gonna be a good one.
Who are you rooting for?
Pacquiao.
You got some money on it?
It's 2-1. I mean, I would have liked that like more 3-4-1. Cause,
where are you going to watch the fight out of your house?
I'll call around and see what we're doing.
You guys go to bars? Or you guys go to the casinos at all? I know people that live in Vegas don't often go to casinos.
You
but...
can't even put that fight at a bar.
Yeah, just too many.
Yeah, only at the MGM
oh, really?
Hotels, right?
Closed circuit, they'll do.
Because you need not even like the sports.
They're not allowing it. They blacked it out.
Oh.
They would have to pay so much, they would never make the money back.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, they've like put some sort of thing on it.
Oh.
Band or something, I don't know.
That's amazing. Well, so those confused. Of you in the future who are listening to this on May 13th can tell us how it came out. Now, actually, it'd be really nice if you can just like call us in the past and let us know.
Yeah, we could bet.
Then we can get that fucking hoverboard.
I just saw it. Mayweather won in the ninth round. Congratulations, Floyd.
Somebody did.
You got him knocking Pacquiao out?
Yeah, ninth round. I don't know. I don't know exactly what happens, but he wins in the ninth round.
Yeah, somebody predicted Mayweather knockout in the 10th. I forgot who that was. Maybe Charles Barkley or somebody like that.
I don't know if he's got the horsepower to knock out.
You don't think he'll tire him out?
Pacquiao, I don't know.
Who's your favorite fighter?
Favorite fighter of all time? I mean, it's cliche, but of course it's Mike Tyson because that's the generation we grew up to.
Yeah.
I mean, but I respect – I'm big on the old fighters, Rocky Marciano, Jack Dempsey. I love watching –
Every white man's got to pull Rocky Marciano out the ass.
I mean, if you really watch his old footage, he was unbelievable.
He was. 49-0. Yeah. No one's done it since. What about MMA? You watch some of that shit?
Of course.
Who do you got in the UFC? Who's some of your favorites? Joseph Benavidez? Slingshot athlete?
I guess that's
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you guys are teammates now. Yeah.
There you go.
That's a definite he's got a fight coming up, doesn't
he? Yeah, in about a month.
Yeah.
Who's he go against?
He's like the number 3 guy in the weight class. I forgot his name.
Really?
Yeah, Joseph's number 2. This guy's number 3.
And then Mighty
and
Mouse
then,
is number 1.
Unfortunately. Demetrius Johnson's
but
number 1. He's hard to beat.
It was a good fight, though, Joseph fought Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, the first time it went decision, and the second time Joseph got clipped with a pretty good shot.
Yeah,
hopefully he gets another chance. But Mighty Mouse, fucking man, that guy's unbelievable. A lot of good athletes in those lighter weight classes. Yeah. You know, they're so fast, they're so quick. What about like Chuck Liddell?
Of course, I love Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck Liddell. He's just such
a man.
He
cool
just
too.
Fight anybody. You know.
Yeah, I've met him a couple times in person. Super cool guy.
That's cool. It's crazy to think, you know, you just fucking just – the way that those guys are just able to kick people upside their fucking heads is fucking amazing. Unbelievable. Bones Jones, the freak. You know, you got a lot of mutants in the UFC. You follow any of – you know, you have any favorites in the UFC other than –
Not particularly.
Yeah, just like watching.
Whoever covers the bet that I put on becomes my favorite for that day.
All right, I think that's it for today. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle. May all your shits be tapered. I'm at Mark Smillybell on Twitter and Instagram.
Did you just sing this? You find me at Sound the Mic, 2Ks, Instagram and Twitter.
And Mike has a YouTube
now. I got a YouTube now. You guys can go find that. I think it's youtube.com/silentmike95. Yeah. I didn't choose that number. It just popped up.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that you were born in 1995.
Someone took Silent Mike from you.
Yeah, man. I think a regular Silent Mike. There's a tattoo artist, I think, named Silent Mike. He's kind of popular.
He's not the first Silent Mike, unfortunately. Yeah.
Oh, just the best.
I thought you came out with this.
Yeah. I know. I should have.
Find out.
Circle R, TM.
Yeah. I'm Jim McD, STTV, everywhere that I would want you to find me. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, Facebook.com/supertraininggym, and Twitter at STGymSack. And check out supertraining.tv. And we're out.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues, take your training to the next level with Slingshot products and howmuchyoubench.net, and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of supertraining.tv.